We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Folks, we're back. Had a preview pod, but consider this the real deal. The season premiere of College Sports Now, the Women's Basketball Edition. I'm Rob Joyce, joined once again each week by the real star of the show. She watches every game, so you don't have to. Her Hoopstats, Megan Gower. Megan, welcome back. How's life?
Thank you. Things are good. It's good. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. What was your favorite Christmas present?
Good question. I think I got like one of those Polaroid printers where you could print like photos from your phone to Polaroid. So that, because that sounds more excited, they say my Crock-Pot, which just makes me sound old.
Don't hate on Crock-Pots, man. Those things are great. Here's the deal. Each Friday around lunch until the NCAA tournament, we'll be here. We'll record the pod. This is Friday morning. We'll have it out by lunch. Then we'll figure out from there, once the NCAA tournament starts, we'll figure out our days. Today, much like our preview pod, no guests, straight ball for the next hour or so. We have a lot to get to. We'll recap the first couple months of the season. Upsets galore early on. Things have settled down a little bit the last couple of weeks, but we'll run through all the top teams, all the top conferences. We'll have some fun along the way. Megan, do you have an overarching thought now that we're 2 months into the season, kind of a big picture point of view as we start to dig into some of these teams?
Yeah, I think the two things that stand out to me is I think there's a clear top two in the country right now, and we'll get into them, but it's South Carolina and UCLA. But I also think the floor kind of has elevated a lot from last year, and there's not a lot of separation from 1 to 30.
Yeah, so we'll start, I guess you mentioned the top two teams. We'll start with the SEC, because shock among shocks, the number one team in the country once again is South Carolina. Something that they were preseason, what, 7 or 8? They lost all the freshies. You wonder, yeah, they still have pieces. Will they be good? Then they go to Ireland or France, wherever the heck they were in Europe, kick the crap out of Notre Dame, and they've been number one ever since. Are you surprised at just how, not necessarily that South Carolina is the number one team in the country, but just how dominant they've been given the makeover that they've had to undergo?
Yeah, I expected this team to kind of come in and maybe struggle a little bit at the beginning of the season and then, of course, eventually find their footing. We all know how good of a coach Dawn Staley is, but it surprised me how they kind of just hit the ground running in that first game against Notre Dame, as you said. So I think that's what's most impressive about this team to me is they've really completely changed their starting lineup, changed much of their personnel, and really changed the style that they're playing. Pretty much a 180 from last year, and they're still this good off the bat.
Yeah, in the preseason, I predicted Camila Cardozo would be a first-team All-American. I think she's played like that. And Tahina Pau-Pau, I thought she'd be good. She is basically, they're different players stylistically, but she's kind of what I always wanted Zaya Cook to be, in that she's like super efficient. She's She's over 50% from beyond the arc, which is kind of wild that we're halfway through the year. And she's just that go-to scorer. Bree Hall has become a three-point threat after she didn't play a whole lot in her first year. You know, last year, they lost one game. Sure, it was a big game, but they were a historically good team. But last year, like, there was a way to beat them. They were just so good that, like, you just couldn't. They were basically, you know, they were like a bunch of tank engines, and you were asked to hurt them by throwing stones at them. Like, it's not going to work. If you had a big enough boulder, Caitlin Clark, sure. But other than that, you couldn't. This year, you know, their defense might be like a half step below. That's still probably the best in the country, as opposed to being maybe the greatest defense we've ever seen. But man, they're so much more dynamic offensively. Like last year, they weren't making seven threes a game. I don't think they could make seven threes a game. Now, you know, make their A++ defense an A defense and make their A- offense like A+. Like, I don't know how you stop it.
Yeah, I agree. I think their offense has been the big surprise with this team, and also really a pleasant surprise in that, you know, this team is a lot of fun to watch, right? Like, the ball's going through the basket a lot. They're playing at a fast pace. It's a really fun team. I don't know that I buy into this hype, though, because there's a lot of hype that, like, they're even better than last year. And I don't know that I fully buy into that. The offense certainly is, but the team collectively, I don't know that I'm buying into that hype.
You stole my question that I was about to ask you. They're certainly more dynamic than last year. They might, like I said, they might be harder to beat than last year. Because if you caught fire, which they never let teams catch fire, but if you happen to catch fire, you know, say you make 12 threes, like there's a scenario in which you could have beaten them last year. This year, like, score 70 on them, be one of the rare teams that do it. Like, that means you have to hold them below 72, which I don't know if you can do.
Yeah, I'm interested to see. They've got like that LSU game in a few weeks, the UConn game coming up, how those games go. Because I think my reason that I'm questioning, like, is this team really better than last year's? Is like, not, no offense to Notre Dame, but who have they played? Like, that first game of the season one is always kind of, I think, a wild card. But outside of that Notre Dame game on day one, like, their best opponent has certainly been that Utah game. And I thought they struggled a little bit in that game. Alyssa Peely, granted, incredible player. Like, some of this is just how good she is, but was really able to just kind of do whatever she wanted in that game. And I don't think beyond that, we've really seen them against another top caliber opponent. And that's where I'm interested to kind of see, what does it look like when you are playing someone that's a lot closer to the level that you're at?
Yeah, let's see. They won by 7 at Carmichael against North Carolina. They pulled away from Duke. Was that game? That game was at Cameron. Yeah, they pulled away in the fourth quarter there. So, yeah, they haven't played. And then Maryland, we'll get to Maryland. I have thoughts on Maryland, but we'll get to that. But, yeah, you're right in that regard. We'll learn a lot. They go to Baton Rouge January 25th. UConn, we learned that Camila Cardoso may or may not play in that game because she's going with Team Brazil for FIBA something or other. She's playing with Brazil, which is cool, but she might miss the UConn game. The SEC as a whole, like, we can talk about LSU in a second. Looking at the SEC as a whole briefly, you know, with South Carolina, there's LSU. There's a bunch of teams that are like receiving votes good. Otherwise, I don't think this conference is all that.
Yeah, I think the SEC is weak this year, just to put it bluntly. So, yeah, that's why you got to circle those LSU and the UConn games coming up, because there's nothing else on their schedule going forward in the SEC. By no fault of their own, it's just not, I think, the year that they're hoping to have in the SEC that is jumping off the page to me as, like, oh, that's going to challenge them. So,
Yeah, I mean, you look at some of these teams like Ole Miss. They were preseason ranked. They're unranked right now. They're 12-4. Alabama, I think they're a top 25 net team. They're 15-3. They're, you know, they're fine. Mississippi State is fine. Arkansas is fine. None of these teams are world beaters. Shout out Texas A&M. They were bad last year and 2 years ago. Joni Taylor in year two has got that thing humming. And then shout out to Shea Ralph. Big win over Kentucky last night. Vandy is 16-1. They haven't played anybody. But when, you know, you're at the levels that Vandy was, 16-1 is certainly an accomplishment. So shout out to the Commodores. Anti-shout out, You want to talk Tennessee?
Yeah.
Right now,
that is
Megan Gower, bracketology, what, every week on her hoopstats.com?
Close to it, hopefully, going forward.
And that'll ramp up, obviously, as we get closer to March.
Yeah.
If the season ended today, Megan Gower, you do not have the Lady Vols in the field.
Yeah, it's just a hard case right now. I mean, they're 67th, I think, in the net the last time I looked. That's not typically a tournament team, and just 7-5 in non-conference play. Some bad losses in there. They have really struggled. And, of course, a lot of that came without Rekia Jackson, so I wouldn't be shocked if they do decent in SEC play now that Rekia's back, to see them kind of slide back in, even if they are low in the net, because that's obviously a big injury to this roster. But I don't know. I just feel like it's a very disappointing season from Tennessee, even with that injury, the talent that they have on that roster. And they just should be better than they are.
You were way off. You said they were 67th in the net. They're 66th. Way off. Yeah, I mean, they don't have the Middle Tennessee State loss isn't great. But, you know, losses at Florida State by one, against Indiana, against Oklahoma, Notre Dame, Ohio State, like, these aren't bad losses. Yeah. Boy, they don't. What's their best win? Florida?
One. Yeah.
I think is their best win, their most recent win. And like we said, like, how many marquee chances are they going to get? Like, they get South Carolina twice. Not going to win. Yeah. They get LSU once. Like, they're not going to win. If you do, that changes the story of things. But there just aren't opportunities. I will say, you were right in one thing. You said Rekia Jackson, you predicted her to be a first-team All-American in the preseason. She won't be because she missed all that time.
Right.
But boy, I think you were proven right. Because with her, this team's pretty good. And without her, we saw what they are without her.
Yeah, exactly. So it'll be interesting to see how things shape up for the rest of the SEC season from them. But yeah, my concern right now is they don't have a win over a team that I would consider firmly in the field.
Let's see. What's their – so Florida, they're a top 50 net win. They're like 47.
Yeah,
so
they're a bubble team, yeah.
Yeah. That's,
it's not a bad win, but it's not a great win either.
Yeah. Lastly in the SEC, LSU, they've had – I'll be nice and say an interesting season for the defending national champs. They're starting to find it. They're 16-1. They lost the opener to Colorado. I don't put a whole lot of stock into it because, again, season opener, so many new pieces. Colorado, all returning pieces. You get blitzed, it happens. It won't matter come March. A lot's happened since then. What are your thoughts on LSU?
Yeah, I'm interested to see how they do in the SEC. I'm not sold on it being totally together yet, but, like, they still have time until March. The talent's there. Kim Mulkey's there. You got to figure they're going to figure it out. I feel like this is the team that's probably going to end just on their strength of schedule and where the SEC is at this year, like a 2-3 seed, unless they, like, beat South Carolina a couple times. That's not the 2-3 seed I would want to see in my bracket. If I was on the one line, but yeah, they're getting there. I thought the Colorado game, like you said, agreed. Don't take that much stock in it. Season opener. I would have liked to see probably a little bit closer of a margin because that one wasn't particularly close. But then they go on, they beat Virginia Tech a few weeks after that. Granted, I thought Virginia Tech looked a little rough to start this season as well. But they just haven't really played anyone since, so it's kind of hard to make, like, how far they've come, because we need to see them against, you know, someone that's in that kind of top 25 contention group.
Some stories never change, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm not worried. The drama of November, even taking out the Colorado loss, like, I don't know what happened with Angel Reese. I don't really care what happened with Angel Reese, because, you know, it's not like there's some scandal where they're hiding that, you know, she didn't get arrested or anything like that. Like, whether it was personal or basketball related or academic, like, whatever, it's in the past. End of the day, like, she's still really, really good. And I feel like we don't talk about her stats. Like, last night, she put up 20, 18, and had 7 assists in a blowout over Texas A&M. Anissa Morrow, as good as advertised. Haley Van Lick, probably not as good as we thought she'd fit in. I mean, she hasn't been terrible, and, you know, NCAA tournament, big games, I trust her to hit the big shots. And then how about Michaela Williams? She's right there. you know, this is a star-studded freshman class. She's right up there with Juju and Hannah Hidalgo.
Yeah, she's been really good for them. And when Angel Reese was out, I thought really stepped up for this team and was able to kind of to do a lot for them, which is really impressive, especially in November as a freshman. But yeah, I think we're going to talk probably about a lot of freshmen throughout the course of this podcast. It is quite the class.
Yes. End of the day, I'm with you. If I look at my bracket in March, if I'm a team, I don't want to see South Carolina. I don't want to see UCLA, and I probably don't want to see LSU. Anyone else, you know, I'd figure it out. Those three, I think, are the scariest come March. Where do you want to go next? You will actually, I'll make that decision. Pac-12, because we brought up UCLA. We knew the Bruins would be good. Did you think they'd be clear-cut number two in the country good?
I did, but I feel like I watch a ton of UCLA, so maybe it was a little bit, alone in that little pocket of the country that was like, yes, they will be this good. No, I thought this team, as soon as they signed Lauren Betts and the pieces, to be national championship contender, everything that we're seeing them be right now. I think that has been their biggest hole. We saw how good their freshman class was last year. They were going to have another year. I thought the team had everything to get there, and I think they've very clearly been there so far this season.
Even without Emily Bissoir, she got her, game two? And they haven't missed a beat. Some of the metrics, I'm surprised, they aren't as high on the Bruins. Like, her Hoopstats ranking is, I think, the ninth best team in the composite rankings. I tend to lean more towards their AP poll ranking. I mean, Charisma Osborne, you have that proven player who you trust in crunch time. Keke Rice, London Jones, they're phenomenal. I mean, all three of those players, if you have three guards that shoot beyond 40%, a couple shoot more than 40% from three, they all make like 90% of their free throws. And then you throw in down low someone who's playing like the former number one recruit in the country, because I'll never know what happened with Lauren Betts at Stanford. We probably never will. I don't get it. She's spectacular.
Yeah, I thought that was the biggest question mark about this team was like, is Lauren Betts going to live up to the hype, or like, because we never will know why she never played at Stanford.
Yeah.
But I think she's very much kind of fit exactly what UCLA needed so far this season.
Yeah. I think some of the defensive metrics are why, like, they're skewed a little bit, why the ranking or the metrics think they're a little worse. Like, giving up 78 points to Florida State, like, it's not a bad defensive performance with the Seminoles. They gave up, I think, 71 to Ohio State. Like, they gave up a bunch of points in garbage time. The final margin was like 6 or 7, wasn't that close. So right. UCLA will make their first Final Four this year, barring something catastrophic, I think.
I agree.
Pac-12 as a whole, though, outside of, you know, typically in the past it's been Stanford and Oregon or just Stanford. Last year UCLA joined in the mix, but now, like, this is best conference in the country, right? Like, I'm not over-hyping things. Like, they're ranked, 2, 5, 8, 9? In the polls?
Yep, I believe so. Yeah, 4 top 10 teams. There's just, top to bottom, really. I mean, there's a couple teams at the bottom, but even the middle of the conference, I think we've seen Cal pull off some upsets. Arizona pulls off some upsets in the past week or two. So really, really solid conference this season.
Stanford, I'll admit I was wrong on Stanford. I thought they'd be hanging around that, 15, 20 range, kind of where Utah is now. I didn't think Cameron Clark would have enough, or Cameron Brink would have enough help, but she, if Caitlin Clark didn't exist, she'd run away with National Player of the Year. She's found a whole other level that has just lifted the Cardinal back into the national conversation.
Yeah, I think it's that and Cameron Brink being what Cameron Brink is, but also Keke Irifan at Stanford has just been phenomenal.
Where'd she come from?
Yeah, didn't contribute much at all last year, but her and Brink in the post, like, it's a really bad matchup for 99% of teams in the country. Like, I'm really interested to see how they run through Pac-12 play, because I think we've seen them be really great to start this year, and the two of them are behind that. There's just not a lot you can do when both of them are really on in the lane.
Their defense, I don't want to say confuses me, but they've had some odd, they might be one-offs. Like, they gave up 79 to a kind of meh Duke team. The game went to overtime. They randomly, Gonzaga nearly put up 100 on them. at their place. So we'll learn. I think we'll learn a lot this weekend. They head to Utah and Colorado. As long as they don't go 0-2, even if they go 0-2 in the right circumstance, I'm not overly concerned. I want to see the defense against a team like Utah. Can they be what we traditionally think of a Stanford defense? Utah, what are your thoughts on the Utes? Because they're ranked 19th. Metrics have them a lot higher than that. Elisa Pili's really, really good. The defense is a little bit improved, but they're still sitting there at 11-4, which is probably a little worse than people projected.
Yeah, I think what I'm going to mispronounce her last name, so I'm just going to say Gianna, went down. That was a big loss for them. That was kind of their second score on this team. And I think without them, without her, they just don't have, they need someone in addition to Pili to really step up. And I don't think we've seen that kind of have happened yet. I thought in that South Carolina game we were talking about earlier, right? Utah's able to hang around, but against a team that good, one player can't do it all. And that's kind of what was happening. So I think that's why we're seeing them out at 11-4. They've certainly still been very good and honestly better than I expected they would be with that injury. And a lot of that is hats off to Elisa Pili and how good she's been. Still a really good team. I don't think they're going to necessarily contend for a Pac-12 title, in my opinion, but still a really solid team.
Injuries, which there's no real good time to talk about it. Might as well. You mentioned Niepkin's injury, and I think she broke bones as opposed to a ligament. Boy, injuries. That might be the story of the season. The first couple of weeks, we had a lot of upsets, but every week, there's someone else going down.
Yeah, it is incredibly unfortunate. Never the news you want to see on your ESPN notifications.
Yeah. One team who has been able to stay healthy, Colorado. They're ranked 5th. They're doing things at the program I don't think has ever been to heights like this. I'm not number 5 in the country in love with them. Her hoop stats actually has them at 17. That feels low. I'll say they're somewhere in the middle. They're probably a top 10-ish team. I like them. I'm not sure I love them, but they are different than last year where last year they had a very good defense, had trouble scoring. They've been able to figure out the scoring part, maybe at the cost of the defense a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. I think another team, and I know I've said basically the same thing, but it's just kind of I'm interested to see how conference play goes because it hasn't, outside of that first game and their 18-point loss to NC State, they haven't really played anyone. So it's hard to tell. I mean, they did beat Utah last week. That's a good win. They beat Arizona. That's a good win. I think the grind of the Pac-12 is going to probably, like you said, level out where this team actually falls nationally a little bit. I agree. It's probably still top 10, definitely probably top 15. I'm not sold on top 5, but I still think they're good. And they've got a lot of veterans, which means come March, they're a team no one wants to see.
Right. Made the Sweet 16 last year as a 6 seed. The schedule makers did them very few favors. They play Cal tonight. Then they go Stanford, UCLA, USC at home. And then late February, they head to Utah, head to USC, and head to UCLA in 3 straight games. So they have 2 stretches of 3 games that, welcome to life in the Pac-12 this year. Good God. I'm not as high in the Buffs as the rankings indicate, but they'll still, they should host. Because last year they had to go all the way to Durham and won that regional, that sub-regional. Mm-hmm. And then they got Iowa, right? In the Sweet 16?
Yeah, they lost
to Iowa. Last team I wanted to bring up in the Pac-12, the Juju Show. Boy, she's legit.
She's so good. And there was a lot of hype. She has probably exceeded the level of hype that was coming around her coming to the college game. She's just been phenomenal and big part why we're seeing USC in the top 10 too. Another team that I don't know that I'm fully sold on where they are in the rankings, but she is for sure the real deal.
Yeah, they've played 2, we'll say, real games. The season opener against Ohio State. We'll get to Ohio State in a bit because, boy, they've disappointed me. And then 7-point loss at Pauly wasn't quite New Year's Eve, on December 30th. They play UCLA on Sunday. They play at Utah. They play at Colorado. Again, that's a 3-game-in-a-row stretch that, God bless you. I'm with you. Yeah, I'm with you on the Pac-12 as a whole. They have some proven commodities. UCLA has proved itself. And then I think things will come back down to earth a little bit for your Colorados, your USCs, maybe even, you know, your Stanfords. Welcome to life in conference play, right? Like, you eat each other.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Where do you want to go to next? Which conference?
Maybe the Big Ten. We haven't talked about Iowa yet, and I'm sure everyone's waiting for that.
Oh, do they have someone worth talking about? Okay. Conference as a whole, big picture, kind of disappointed by the Big Ten. Bunch of decent teams for the most part. I thought they'd be a little more top heavy. However, I have converted. I believe Caitlin Clark is at the peak of her superhuman powers. She's the national player of the year. She's going to win it. Sorry, Cameron Brink, you've been great. It's going to go to Clark. I was prepared to come in here and say, oh, I don't think they're the third best team in the country, but I'm digging deeper. And sure, an off night for Caitlin is a dangerous thing for Iowa. But right now, I can name two teams definitively better than Iowa, South Carolina and UCLA. Other than that, I got nothing.
Yeah, I think they've surprised me. I thought that the loss of Sonato was going to be harder for them to absorb than it has been. And I think, I mean, a lot of that is just how insane Caitlin Clark has been and the numbers that she's putting up. But I do think Candace Stuhlke has been very good in her sophomore year as well. So that's helping that whole too. But, I mean, it's hard to count them out of any game the way Clark is playing right now. I think conference play will always be interesting, right? I think it kind of tells you a lot more about teams than non-conference play in a lot of regards. But, yeah, I mean, I would say they're probably going to win the Big Ten at least this year. Like, I can't really see anyone challenging them for that at the moment.
They head to Indiana. Excuse me. Indiana comes to them tomorrow. You're right. Hannah Stuhlke, she only plays like 20 minutes a game, but she's super efficient, 14-7. Kate Martin has taken the type of jump this year that she probably needed to. She went from 7 points last year to 12 this year. So it's not spectacular. It's just, it's more consistent secondary scoring. Sharon Goodman, she played 3 minutes a game last year sparingly. She's averaging like 6-6. Like, that's all you need when you have a Caitlin Clark. It's enough to repeat. Do you think this is a social media topic? For Caitlin Clark haters, like, do you think she shoots too much?
I mean, on this team, no. Like, I think there's the place for it, right? Like, if she was on a different team but had a bunch of other players that were closer to her caliber, yeah, she would shoot too much. But, like, on this team, no. They want the ball in her hands as much as possible. That's their best option. I don't see it. Yeah, her numbers aren't super efficient. But it's working for this team. They're the top three team in the country. Like, I don't think she's shooting it too much.
She'll have her share of 13 for 30 type games, but
yeah,
she's more efficient than you'd think. Her effective field goal percentage is in the 94th percentile. If you don't know what effective field goal percentage basically takes into account, three pointers are worth more than two pointers. If you didn't know that, so taking that into account, she's in the top 6%. In the entire country, and she's doing it shooting 30 times a game. She can shoot as much as she wants. It's fine. It's going to work. It worked well. It came to within 40 minutes of a national title. The rest of the Big Ten, Indiana's okay. I've been largely disappointed by the rest of the Big Ten.
Yeah. I feel like Indiana, I'm not sold on them either way right now. I feel like sometimes I'm like, oh, they look a lot better.
Right?
Yeah, we'll learn tomorrow night for sure. But yeah, the rest of the Big Ten, Ohio State in particular, I expected so much more from this team.
You and I put them in the Final Four in the preseason. And like, there's no real shame in the losses they have. They got juju'd in the season opener. They lost by 60 UCLA. Michigan's okay. It's a rivalry game. They lost at their place by 9. Like, they're okay, but they just haven't looked the part. Like J.C. Sheldon's been pretty good, but Cody McMahon, we thought she could be like an All-American, and she's been okay. Mm-hmm. She's been fine. She just hasn't been that game changer that it looked like she might be after a breakout NCAA tournament. So they, of everyone in the country, I've been most disappointed in them.
Yeah, I think we're seeing like when they struggled last season and the struggles that they were having with like there's just no defense in the lane and things like that. Those issues are very much back at the forefront for this team.
Yeah, this isn't quite the buzzsaw D that I thought they would be. It's not over. I mean, they have three games left versus ranked teams, two against Iowa. They have some trap games. Big Ten has some like sneaky decent teams, like Michigan State's pretty good. Penn State has turned it around. Nebraska's decent. Minnesota in year one under Don, I'm not going to say her last name off the top of my head, but they're all pretty good. The Big Ten, it's kind of they're less flashy ACC in that they have a bunch of NCAA tournament teams that'll live in the 6, 7, 8, 9 seed range.
Yep, exactly.
Indiana, to go back to them, do you think the Grace Berger effect, like, is it as simple as that? Like, Mackenzie Holmes is just as good numbers-wise as she was last year. They have some shooters. Sarah Scalia has become that main threat. Yarden Garzón, Sydney Parrish can light it up. But, like, if there's a problem with Indiana, what is it?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it is the Grace Berger effect. Maybe this team was never as good as we thought it was last year. That's why they lost in the second round of the NCAA tournament. I don't know, but it's just, it's not doing it for me so far. They're not totally out of the picture, but I don't know. It just hasn't looked like it should.
I'm kind of on the other side. I think that they're still kind of sneaky good. I mean, there are five teams in her Hoopstats top 10 in offensive and defensive ratings. South Carolina, Stanford, Texas, UConn, Indiana. So I think they're still good. They have chances to prove it, and they won't be a one seed like last year. Maybe they weren't right. Maybe you're right. Maybe they weren't ever as good as last year made it out to be. Maybe they're a really good 2 or 3 seed. So I think that might fit them better. Now, Big Ten, team we haven't mentioned yet, Maryland. I have an extremely hot take, but I'll save it. Give me your thoughts on the Terps season to date.
It has not been great. The start of their season, they scheduled a really hard schedule, so props to Maryland for doing that, regardless of the talent that's on the roster. But, I mean, South Carolina, UConn, there's a handful of other losses in there. They really, really struggled to start. I feel like it's not as bad now. They're, like, hanging around with the middle tier Big Ten teams. They don't look awful, but it just – I think they lost too much talent to replace.
My super hot take. I don't think it'll come true, but, hey, let's go for clicks, baby. There's a path where Maryland misses the tournament.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's too unrealistic. Like, they're 10-5. Kudos to them for the schedule. They were not competitive against South Carolina, UConn. That 20-point loss to Washington State hasn't aged great. The win over Syracuse will age nicely. So they have 10 wins. I think 17 probably gets them in. So if they lose all their remaining ranked games, so say they don't beat Ohio State, Indiana, Iowa, Ohio State, Indiana. Say they lose all those games. So you got to get 7 wins against Purdue. You get Illinois twice. You get Penn State twice, you get Rutgers twice, Michigan and Wisconsin. Like, they can go 7-2 in that, but if you go 5-4, like, there's a scenario in which Maryland goes to Iowa on February 3rd. They're 4-7 in the Big Ten. They're sitting there at 14-12, and then it's pressure time. Like, I thought they'd be, I trusted Brenda Freese and Cheyenne Sellers to just go, oh yeah, they'll figure it out. I don't think they're going to figure it out.
Yeah. No, and I don't think that's totally off base to say they could mess the tournament. I have them on the 9 line right now. Like, that's pretty darn close to the bubble. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. They need to pick up the wins that they can in Big Ten play, or they're very much going to be in that position where they need to beat at Iowa or need to beat Ohio State to get in.
One team, I don't know a whole lot about them. They lost at the buzzer to Iowa. Michigan State. Sneaky good. They're not ranked.
Yeah.
They're a team that the metrics really like, the Spartans. They're someone, I mean, you probably know more about them, but where would they be seated today, and what do you think their ceiling could be?
Yeah, I think they're a team I'm very interested to see how they're going to play in the Big Ten. They're on the 9 line right now. I would say they're probably trending upward. They've got to pick up some of those big wins, though. I think that's the big thing. They don't have the big win yet, and they were so close in the Iowa game. And I guess if you're Dawn Staley, you thought they got a very egregious foul call that maybe they should have won that game. But they just got to find a way to end in the win column in some of these big games. Right now, this team's best win is Penn State, Maryland. So they've got to beat an Ohio State, beat Indiana, beat someone like that to really get themselves in the conversation. The metrics love them, but they also haven't really played anyone, which can help you in the metrics when you're beating a bunch of nobodies by 50 points.
That's fair. Yeah, they play Ohio State on Sunday. They play the Buckeyes again, and then they travel to Indiana. So they only have three games against ranked teams going forward, and I don't think they'll pick up any more. Is Illinois receiving votes? Regardless, even if they are, like that's,
so, yeah.
That's so yeah, the Big Ten, a little down in the middle. Let's move to the ACC. Pac-12 is the top heaviest conference, top to bottom. ACC is one of the deeper conferences. How many teams do you have right now if in the field? Nine? Eight?
Eight.
Okay. We'll start at the top. Where did everyone, you and I included, where did everyone whiff with NC State? Like, we didn't even talk about them in our preseason pod.
Yeah. And I mean, I think maybe it was just they had such a down year by NC State standard, which is still a pretty good year most places in the country. But last year, that they just kind of fell off the radar. But yeah, they have been phenomenal compared to any of their preseason expectations.
Six players in double figures with them. They don't have a 20-point score, but Sanai Rivers has proven she can if you need her to. River Baldwin, she's only out a couple of weeks. That injury could have been a lot more devastating. Even if they stumble once or twice while she's out, I think they're fine in the long run. Is this like last year's Virginia Tech team where kind of thin, but they have someone who can score and then kind of look, you know, they didn't have a whole lot of sexy national hype in the preseason. Then here they are in March as a one seed making a run to a Final Four.
It could be. I don't know that I'm sold on the path for them. I feel like they might be another team that comes back down to earth a little bit in conference play. I think they kind of shot up from unranked to like top five team because they beat UConn. And yeah, that was a good win. But like, also, how did UConn look in that game?
I was there. They looked bad.
Yeah, exactly. Without saying it, they did not look good. So like, it's a great win on the resume, but like, does it make you a top five team in the country? Not entirely sure. They lost that Virginia Tech game this past week. I don't think that's anything to be concerned about, but I think they're good. They're probably a top 10 team. I don't know that they're going to be a one seed path. I think that the ACC is kind of going to beat up on each other a lot. You're going to see maybe NC State, Virginia Tech are host teams, and then everyone else is kind of going to be in that middle tier of teams, not hosting, but they're definitely going to be tournament teams.
They open February with North Carolina, Louisville, Virginia Tech, Pitt, and Notre Dame. So four tough games in a stretch of five. If they get Baldwin back for that, I think they'll be fine. If she's not back, which I think she should be, but setback, whatever, if she's not back or not herself, trouble is the wrong word, but I could see them going, you know, 2-3. And suddenly that takes you from, you're right, like 1-2 line to maybe a 3 or 4. But they should be in line to host. Virginia Tech, team that got off to a slow start, as you referenced earlier. Big buzzer-beating win over NC State. Probably their biggest win of the year. I don't have their schedule in front of me, but almost certainly their biggest win of the year. Elizabeth Kitley and Georgia Amore, like, we know what they can bring. The question I have with the Hokies is, what do they get from everyone else on a given night?
Yeah, and I think that's the part that hasn't necessarily been consistent. And it is why they maybe been struggling a little bit, and we're certainly struggling to start the season. I think if you watch like that Iowa game from like the first week, they just did not look good. Like they looked bad, if we're being honest. And like, I think they had a few games like that. And now it just certainly feels like they're figuring it out. But two players can carry you really far, but I feel like you need a third consistent option. And I don't know that that's something they have at this moment. If you're talking about, like, how deep can this team go in March? Like, they're still going to be really good. They're still going to host. They're still going to probably do very well in the ACC. But how deep they're going to go in March is going to depend on someone stepping up as that third option.
Yeah, it seems weird, but I think, like, one or two players, they can get you through a 31-game season. And then I'm not sure, unless your name is Caitlin Clark, like, I don't know if two players can get you through six games in March and April. And that's where I kind of go with Virginia Tech. Like, Kayla King, I wanted her to take a Kate Martin-type jump where she doesn't need to be spectacular, but her numbers last year are identical. You trade a rebound for an assist. They're mirror images last year. I'd feel a lot better about them, even if that 8 points became 12 or 13. And I don't know who else I'd even turn to as a reliable third option right now. They have that freshman King off the bench. Like, she's shown some flashes, but I just need to see more of it.
Yeah, I agree.
Notre Dame, third best team in the ACC. There's a lot of teams that you could make a case, like, three through like eight. We still haven't seen Olivia Miles. Sony Citron's still out since mid-November.
I thought she played in that North Carolina game, but I don't know if she played in the one after it. For some reason.
She's not back.
Agreed.
Moral of the story, I mean, we thought Olivia Miles might play in the season opener. And that's just like, that's week by week. They're just slow playing it. I have to consider the jury out on them until I see them, if we see them ever fully healthy. However, I don't need to see any more on Hannah Hidalgo.
Hannah Hidalgo is the real deal. Yeah, she is the real deal. She's been incredible. Again, part of that freshman class that just is so talented, and I think is more impressive the way they've all kind of just stepped on the scene from November and really made big impacts on their teams. That's, I think, really stands out. But Notre Dame as a whole, yeah, I like Olivia Miles could come back. So, like, if she comes back, obviously the story changes completely. But if we just for now kind of assume we're not going to see her, because I don't know, I feel like we haven't heard anything about it that makes me think we are. I feel like this is, in my opinion, kind of like one of the most overrated teams in the country. Like, they haven't lost a lot of games, so they're hanging out in that, you know, top 15 area, but they haven't beat a top 15 net team. Like, they just, I don't know. I'm not sold on them at all.
Are you saying 5-12 upset? Like, Notre Dame, like, prime,
yeah. Prime
11-6, 13-4. We don't see a whole lot of 13-4s, but all right.
Yeah. Well, I don't think they're going to end the season on a 4. I think conference play is probably going to humble them a little bit. They've got that UConn game coming. But yeah, I think, like, if I get my bracket and Olivia Miles is not back, and maybe Sonia Citron gets back to a level where they look better, but until then, yeah, that's the 5-12 up for 6-11 upset I'm picking in my bracket.
We're gonna take note of that. I'm not actually doing it, so I'm gonna forget, but it's up in the old noodle. Here's a question. Do you know how many steals a game Hannah Hidalgo averages?
4.
5.5.
Wow.
Do you know how many teams in the country don't average that many steals? It's more than one.
Yeah.
It is, where'd I write it down? 24 teams. Virginia Tech, by the way, is dead last. Hokies don't have any turnovers.
Remember seeing that like a month ago and being like, that seems wild for a team that has like should have at least forced them in like some of these games where like you're playing.
Right, you're playing Radford. That's wild. Rest of the ACC, I don't know. I think Louisville's okay. Like North Carolina, Louisville, and Duke, they're the same team. They just wear different jerseys. Florida State and Syracuse, kind of the same. Like they're pretty much the same team. They're fun to watch. They're electrifying offensively. They don't stop anyone. So those like five teams, if you told me they finished anywhere from third or fourth to like 10th, sure.
Yep.
Yeah. Shout out to the Orange, though. That program was a mess that Felicia Leggett Jack inherited. Shout out to Felicia Leggett Jack. Do you know where her first head coaching job was?
I did not.
The best school on Long Island, Hofstra University. Shout out to the Pride, class of 2014. They're bad at basketball now. It's sad. But Florida State and Syracuse, if you're making like a top 10 fun teams to watch, like Iowa, Kansas State, Florida State's probably right there too, because Taniya Latson, yeah, they're fun. I don't think they're that good, but they're really fun.
Yeah.
What haven't we talked yet? Talked ACC.
Big 12 and Big East.
We'll save the Big East. I have a UConn rant. That's coming. Big 12 overall, I think as a conference, the nicest surprise. Like you and I thought they didn't really have any Final Four contenders. They might have two. No bigger injury in women's hoops this year than Rory Harmon.
Yeah, that's just a huge blow for Texas. A very disappointing news to see. I think a team that, if that injury didn't happen, we were talking about them as a Final Four contender, as a national championship contender. It's really hard to say that without Rory Harmon. She's just so much of what Texas does.
Madison Booker's been really good since Harmon went down. She's putting up similar numbers, but a lot of turnovers. She's a freshman. Like, right. That's just, it's impossible shoes to fill when you're asking to replace someone who was in that conversation for early National Player of the Year. She just makes everything go. I've been impressed by the response. You know, the outside of Harmon, they're getting a little healthier. Taylor Jones missed a couple of games. She's back. Aaliyah Moore, I think, is starting to find her groove because after coming back from that ACL tear. There's that overarching like gray cloud that like Texas is doing great things. I don't trust them in March, and you feel like wherever they lose in March, it's like what could have been.
Yeah, I agree.
In our preseason pod, I said Baylor, I thought would be the best team in the Big 12. I mean, even I didn't think they'd be ranked number 4, and I was ready to give them all their flowers, and then woof, Wednesday happened.
They were looking the part, yeah, and then, oh boy, on Wednesday. That was 21. A bad loss, yeah.
I mean, shout out to Tyana Jackson, 27-19 against Baylor. I mean, it's not your Kim Mulkey Baylor of old where they get a billion rebounds a game, you know, Brittany Griner and all those great teams, but still. They got hammered on the glass by a team that, like Kansas, what, 7-7? They're not making the tournament.
Yeah, yeah.
One game aside, I still like Baylor overall. They have kind of, if you're not going to recruit at, you know, a Dawn Staley, a Kim Mulkey type level, like that's how you build it. They have a senior player who's been there for 4 years, Sarah Andrews. You have a couple of sophomores who have made that freshman jump, Bella Fonteroy, Dariana Littlepage-Bugs, and then you complement all that with transfers. A couple from the SEC, you know, Dre Edwards, Jada Walker, Asia Blackwell, and then you have one from the mid-majors who was a big-time scorer and has become a complimentary piece. Like, that's how you build a team. Mm-hmm. It's just, right now, I just need to get the taste of Wednesday. It's too recent. I need to get it out of my mouth.
Agreed, yeah. One game doesn't make a season, and, like, there's, you know, 14 games that they won before that. Also are part of it, but yeah, it was just a rough loss, and I think it stands out a little bit more because like there's not exactly a bunch of marquee wins on their resume either to be like, okay, this is like totally not indicative of who they are. But I think again, it's another one of these teams that like they're probably not a top 5 team, but they're still really good and conference fight. We'll take them back down to earth a little bit, but like they're still a dangerous team in March. They're still probably a top 10 team. They're just maybe not top 5 good.
I hadn't really thought about it until you said it at the start of the show. And as we're talking here now, there's a clear 1-2. And when you said, you know, 1-30 is deeper, I never really thought about it like that, but you're right. I mean, you get past the top two, sure, if you want to throw in Iowa or LSU, that's fine. But like Baylor and Louisville and pick middle of the pack, top, even like top tier teams in most of these conferences. And you're right. Like even if you're not ranked, there's not a whole lot separating it, which is one of the ways, like that's not something you could say 5 years ago, six right. years ago. One other team, a surprise in the Big 12, K-State. I knew they'd be fun to watch. Drastic overhaul. Last year, they just scored a bunch and didn't defend everyone. This year, they're top 5 scoring defense, which again, I think that'll come down to earth as they play better teams. But still, it's not what I expected at a Manhattan.
Yeah. And I mean, I think having Ayoko Lee back is a part of that, right?
Yes.
And just having that presence in the paint is going to make a big difference defensively, regardless of how much she does or doesn't do. It's just a lot of size that they did not have last year. But yeah, a team that's been very fun to watch. And like we said, I think the Big 12 as a whole has been a pleasant surprise, right? Like there's more of a top group there than we expected. I mean, you're talking about this is going to come down to earth and it's not going to stay that way. But like, three teams that we're hosting in the I think my latest bracket, you've got Kansas State up there, Texas up there, Baylor up there. In reality, I think it's probably going to look something like Baylor stays there. I just don't know that Texas will without Rory Harmon, and then Kansas State maybe, but I think they're probably more like going to end in that like five seed range, but still a stronger Big 12, I think, than we've seen in a while.
So Texas is what? 16-1, but how many games realistically could they lose? They play Kansas State tomorrow on the road. They play K-State twice and Baylor once. Unless they get tripped up a couple of times, like how many losses would they realistically need to not host? Like I think they've built up enough credence where they're not going to fall out of the top 16.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm interested to see how Big 12 play goes. I think the thing with seeding is like availability of talent is part of it. So if they lose a handful of games without Rory, I think that starts to become part of the conversation. Is like
sure.
Some of those big wins that they have don't necessarily carry the weight when she's no longer part of the roster.
Sure. Did want to mention, we don't have to talk about it. TCU though, they're dreadfully bad last year. 1-17 in the league. They were 8-23. Started 14-0 again. They kind of like Vandy. They didn't play anybody, but when you're 8-23. You pick up wins where you can. Really sucks that Sedona Prince broke her finger. Is this still a tournament? Is this a tournament team?
Maybe. We'll see how they do in the Big 12. Yeah, okay. I'm not sold on them. I think they're much better than they were last year. I'm not sold on this, like, they're a top 25 team.
Sure. All right. We've talked about five conferences. We can, given what UConn did to Marquette and Creighton, I guess we can call it the UConn discussion. Marquette and Creighton, like, they're still fine. They're tournament teams. What, the like 7, 8, 9 seed types?
Yeah. They're going to hang around. They're going to be like your Louisville's, your Dukes. Like, yeah, that group.
Sure. Give me your thoughts on the Huskies. I have a lot of thoughts on the Huskies. So give me your thoughts.
I have
thoughts
a lot of thoughts, too. I think this Aubrey Griffin injury in the last week is yet another blow to where they were headed. I think they struggled to start the season. I think there's no question about that, but I think the coaching staff has done an incredible job turning this team around in a month. Like, I think if you look at where they were at Texas and where they were in that Marquette game, like, it's just worlds different. They've played the toughest schedule in the country. I'm not saying they're like a top five team, but I think they're Paige Beckers and Aaliyah Edwards is going to win you a lot of games, and they are certainly much better, I think, than a lot of people think they are right now. Like, they are not the 13th best team in the country either, in my opinion.
Oh, I checked UConn Twitter at 1 p.m. on Monday. I'm well aware of what people think about UConn falling a spot. My thoughts have changed a lot since November. First off, it's almost like Gino Auriemma knows how to coach. Because
yeah,
transformation, like, they've made as much of a transformation as anyone nationally, and now they're playing their best basketball of the season in spite of everything. End of the day, they're not as bad as I'm probably going to portray them in the next 2 minutes, at least compared to, you know, UConn's impossible standards. They're also not as good as I think UConn fans think they are, and to some extent, you know, I think end of the day, this is a second weekend team because they have an All-American. They have a very good post player who I don't think is quite an All-American, but at her peak, she's at that level. And their freshmen are coming along nicely. I really like Ashlyn Shade. Didn't expect that. KK Arnold has progressed nicely. Just asking freshmen to do it for 25 games in a row and then do it in March. Like, it's just, you're asking
That's
a lot.
Hard. Yeah.
Would I be totally stunned if UConn got to Cleveland? No. Like, of course not.
Yeah.
There's a path. Right now, though, I think it's more likely that somewhere along the way, someone comes out and does what Ohio State did last year, what UCLA did this year, what Texas did this year, what NC State did. At some point in the game, just come out, first quarter, third quarter, punch UConn in the mouth. And they can't recover. jump out to an 11-point lead. I'm not talking about a team like Marquette. I'm talking about South Carolina, LSU, Stanford, Iowa level good. And the part where it's controversial, they have five season-ending injuries, four, and no indication that Caroline Ducharme's coming back.
Yeah.
Even if most of those injuries don't happen, the problems I have with this team aren't solved. So I'll explain. So the biggest problems I have with UConn, again, looking at this through a national championship lens, defense, the worst in my lifetime. No UConn team's ever given up more than 60 a game. This team does. It's gotten better, but they have a nasty habit of playing like 30 minutes of defense a game. So like Butler can score, what, 23 first quarter points? Like, it's fine because you're better than Butler. 15 points in 5 minutes against Georgetown is fine because eventually you're just better than Georgetown. But if you do that for 5 minutes against South Carolina, you're not coming back. And you know who doesn't fix your defense? Azy Fudd and Caroline Ducharme. That's where the Aubrey Griffin injury is the killer. Like, am I wrong there? And that those two, like, that's a problem. And yes, it's like, it sucks. I feel bad for both of them, especially Ducharme, and like head injuries are scary. It's like, it's so unknown. And then Azy Fudd hasn't been healthy in seems like 5 years. It sucks. I just don't think that their reintroduction into the lineup, even healthy, solves the defensive problem.
Yeah, that's fair. Aubrey Griffin was just such a big part of what this team was doing right now. And yeah, it hurts them on the defensive end for sure. I will say, like, that Butler game, I didn't think the defense was bad. Like, Butler just went out and hit a bunch of threes. It wasn't necessarily bad defense. It was just, I don't know, they were just on one for 10 minutes and then came back to earth. The defense definitely has some holes. I think it's gotten better.
Yes.
Yeah. I think where I'm higher on this team is, like, similar to why, like, in Iowa is just, like, you have Caitlin Clark and sometimes that's just going to be enough. Like, you have Paige Beckers and sometimes that's just going to be enough. Like, I think she's playing at that level.
Yeah, absolutely. My other qualm with UConn, this isn't as big of one. Just, there's so much pressure on Aliyah Edwards to be great every game. And again, the Ayanna Patterson injury, like, she played 10 minutes a game last year against the top teams in the country. It was always going to be Aliyah Edwards is going to play, barring foul trouble, 35 minutes, and she needs to put up like 20 and 10. She needs to be Cameron Brink good, Asia Wilson, Aaliyah Boston good. And they're just, she doesn't do it consistently enough. Like NC State, she disappeared for three quarters. And when that happens, the offense is basically, Paige, save us.
Yeah.
And that can get you far. I don't think it can win you six games when it matters.
That's fair.
So that's my problem with UConn. Again, I probably make it seem like UConn sucks. I don't think UConn sucks. I think they've been hit by an injury bug in the last 2 years that I've never seen. They're just not as good as I think UConn fans are accustomed to UConn being.
Yeah, I don't think it's an easy path for them to get to a Final Four at this point. I think maybe it was starting to look like that when you had Griffin, but that was the margin for error when she went down just dropped dramatically, regardless of what people might think, because she was coming off the bench. Like, she was such a big part of what this team is doing. So I do think things look a lot bleaker right now. If Aliyah Edwards can put it together for six games straight alongside Paige, or five games straight, maybe that's enough to get them to the Final Four.
Yeah. Now prepare yourselves. UConn's not going to be a one seed, folks. They're going to Albany.
Wouldn't necessarily say they're not going to be a one seed.
Okay, but off chance they're not a one seed.
Yeah, they're still going to Albany.
They're going to Albany. Prepare yourself now, Megan.
Oh, yeah.
Because
people are going to be angry.
Oh, they're going to lose their mind. Well, yes. We'll save it for March. I have a thing. It's a whole. Long story short, support your program and tell your local city to put in bids to host.
Right.
Because not that many do. And you know why Albany gets it, even though it's in the middle of nowhere in New York? It's because they're going to get 10,000 people there.
Yeah, exactly.
So, sorry to the one seed where UConn is the two or the three. It's going to be a road game. It's probably not fair. We'll save it for March. Last thing for me, Megan. Last thing for me, before I get to, we'll say, over emotional thoughts on, you know, we can do this quickly. Thoughts on this new NCAA media deal where the value's gone up. You know, people are praising it as tenfold. I don't think it's as good as people are making it out to be, but any thoughts as women's sports continues to at least progress?
Right. I mean, I think it's good, right? It's in the right direction. Is it amazing? Probably not. It is what it is. I don't have, like, strong thoughts on it. It's not something I've spent a ton of time looking at, but, I mean, it's a step in the right direction at the very least.
All right, that's fair. Quickly, games to watch this weekend. Stanford, Utah tonight. Early night for you. Congratulations. That's at 8 o'clock Eastern.
I know. It's lovely.
Are you still going to watch whatever godforsaken game they put on at 11?
Probably.
Saturday, K-State, Texas at 2. Iowa, Indiana, primetime Saturday, the Caitlin Clark Show, national. When's the last time a women's game was 8 o'clock on a Saturday on national TV?
Yeah, that's exciting.
Remember what happened the last time they met? Caitlin Clark, the first buzzer beater, doing Caitlin Clark things. And then Sunday's loaded. Florida State, Virginia Tech at 1. I promise you, there will be more points in that game than the Steelers, Bills, and the snow in Buffalo. So watch that. Colorado, Stanford at 2, and then round 2, UCLA, USC at 5. So we got quite the weekend here.
Yeah, agreed. A lot of fun Pac-12 games. So that's always my favorite type of weekend. There's going to be a lot of those weekends this year, I suppose.
cherish your Pac-12 weekend.
I know.
What's the latest you've stayed up for a Pac-12 game?
Oof, I don't know. Probably like 1 a.m.,
it's past my bedtime.
It's not that bad, yeah.
All right, Megan, plug your stuff. We'll get out of here. Where can we find you? Tell us about your bracketology updates.
Yeah, bracketology updates on the Her Hoops Stats website, hopefully close to weekly. Works a little crazy, so I'll say close to weekly. For the rest of the year, we'll increase as we get to March. Something coming in the Washington Post on Monday on bracketology too, so look out for that.
Awesome. Follow Megan at Megan Gower. Did I get that right? I'm doing off the dome. Yep. Hey, at Megan Gower, G-A-U-E-R, at r_Joyce34. I don't tweet that much, but sure, feel free to follow me. This was a full in-depth preview. Next week, we'll go a little more nitty-gritty, break down the games from this weekend, preview what's going on next weekend, and maybe get a guest. So, Megan, enjoy your weekend. Folks, enjoy your weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.